I want to first just spend a moment on that song. We were really blessed this morning, I believe, in our worship service, in our song service. We sang this song this morning. I was really moved by these words. What a beautiful picture of the gospel. We were talking to Brother Mike Stewart at Camp Moriah, and he was saying how belief in Lord Jesus Christ starts with repentance, and that's seen in here. How can I, a lowly mortal, born an earthling formed of clay, that separation, planet earth, earthlings, seek to praise the Lord Jehovah who has turned my night to day? And Jesus does that. He turns your night to day. Jesus is the day spring. In Luke 1 it says that He's the day spring that comes, which is the dawn breaking. It says in His beginning of His journey that He went through, was it Zebulun, that the people that lived in Naphtali, that sat, it says that the people who sat in darkness saw a great light spring up as Jesus came through there. How can such a one of Adam, long estranged from God above, hope to find His blessed favor, hope to know His blessed love? It's like the subjects going to the king, hoping to bring something to obtain His favor. We need the king's favor. For His eye is far too pure to look upon this earthly frame. His own perfect being never can accept my sin and shame. Oh, that I knew where to seek Him. Oh, that He might smile on me. But unless my sin is covered, such a joy can never be. But, as Brother Zach would say, aha! Do you hear it? But, oh, listen! Do you hear it? Do you hear that glad new song? It is telling how the Savior Himself has been sent to claim His own. Didn't even send someone else to do the job. Blessed Jesus died to save me. Saved me from the fatal sting. Now I know that He's my Savior. Praises to my Lord and King. You know, as a kid, you would tell somebody, you would share with them something that meant a lot to you. And I remember as a kid, you'd always kind of follow it up with, now don't, make sure you don't tell anybody that, you know. And then as you get older, you don't say that anymore. Well, Wednesday was the 27th, so I was reading the Psalm of the Day and I shared some thoughts on it with Nathan. And I should have followed that up with, now don't tell anybody what I told you. Because apparently, word got around and so here we are. So this is coming out of Psalm 27 verse 4, I'd like to just share my thoughts with you this morning. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Familiar passage. Think back to, go listen to Brother Thomas Mann. I forget now what year he spoke on this. I believe it was at Camp Moriah. Very powerful, powerful, and lots of truth per square inch in this verse. The first thing I want to start with is you can see where David is standing. Look where David is standing when he starts this verse. One thing have I desired of the Lord, or requested of the Lord, or one thing have I asked of the Lord. David is asking of someone mightier and stronger than he. And that's what we do when we ask somebody for something. There's a recognition there that you need that person to give you that. David is coming as the creature to his Creator. I like where David is standing. David isn't coming as a self-made man here. David said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after." The next thing I noticed was that David's feet, David's walk aligned with his desires. Often in my own life, I have great emotional desires to love and follow Lord Jesus Christ, but my feet are either going somewhere else or they're not moving at all. And this is the beautiful dynamic of God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. God's sovereign over life, and man has a duty to do and to seek after. And the world tries to take these two things. No, sorry. That's for later on down. These two things. So Spurgeon said, this was great. Spurgeon said when it was asked of him, how do you reconcile God's sovereignty and man's responsibility? And he said, I never try to reconcile friends. These aren't even neighbors that are, what did he say? They're not at enemy with each other. They're not even neighbors that bicker. These are friends that are totally compatible and go hand in hand. So David has a desire of the Lord, and he is seeking after it. And what is David's desire? His desire is that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. When you are surrounded by godly people and you are in the church, your desires are going to align more with God's desires. Look at Proverbs 18:1. Here's some insight on desire. Through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. What? We don't really talk like that anymore. So let me rephrase that again with a different translation. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. And you've seen that before in people that you know, people who have separated themselves from the church, separated themselves from the Christian fellowship that maybe they were brought into. And our desires by nature are for ourselves, and we push away the sound wisdom of others. So just a thought there on desire. David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. The word dwell here is just so rich. When I started working at LRK about 5 years ago, I was primarily have worked since then in our kind of multifamily residential studio. Multifamily residential, and multifamily means more than one family in one building, as opposed to like single family, which is your house. So what that is basically are apartments. We do a lot of apartment buildings at LRK, sort of our bread and butter. And over the years, I've gotten very familiar with that product type. And as you learn how to put a multifamily project together, you realize that there's lots of codes that buildings have to comply by. Multifamily is classified under the residential occupancy. So code writers, all the buildings are different. They have different uses. So in order to make sure the codes are appropriate, they do it by the occupancy of the building. So like a church would be an assembly space. Residential is another space, another occupancy space. Multifamily is R2. I've been doing a lot of multifamily projects over the last past years, and I've become very familiar with the codes that are involved in R2. The fire ratings that are needed, the length of a corridor before it becomes a dead-end corridor, the safety, the life safety of a project. Well, recently I got to work on a new project type in Kansas City. It's a boutique inn. Beautiful, like white clapboard building, kind of traditional English style. It's a hotel, and it's different. It's still residential, but it's R1, not R2. And I had my R2 hat on, and I had some issues with some things going together. And the difference between R1 and R2 is a little word on R2 that says transient. Both of them are residential. Both places you go to sleep at. You need to be able to wake up, brush your teeth, and get going. But the difference between R1 and R2 is how long you're going to stay. See, in a hotel, you come and you leave. In multifamily, in an apartment building, you're there to stay. So it affects how the code goes, right? I mean, the doors don't have to have panic hardware on R2 because you're there to live. You're familiar with your surroundings. In R1, in a hotel, you come and you go. You don't have to know where the stairs are. Who cares? often I think we treat the church like a come and go type of place. And the reason I bring that, I was thinking about this afternoon, so the reason I share that with you is because David is saying his desire is to come and dwell in the house of the Lord. And so often we come into the church, our bags are packed, we're not planning to stay, we're not planning to get comfortable. That's a hotel approach to the house of God. And David is saying, nah, I brought the moving chariot, you know, all my couches, and I'm here to stay in a sort of set up shop, permanent residence. David says, one thing have I desired, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Why? Well, he says, all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Last two things. You know, David in the Psalms has a passion for the Word of God. But keep in mind that the Word of God that David had wasn't the New Testament. It would have been, I guess, the Torah, right, Brother Zach? The books of Moses. God in those books comes across as a very, sometimes a very stern God, does he not? His justice is displayed in the Old Testament, it seems, his righteousness. But David is saying that God is beautiful, and he desires to behold the beauty of the Lord. To think about the attributes of God that David experienced in his own life that were beautiful to him. David experienced that safety that God provides. You remember in his early days when Saul would try to kill him, throw javelins at him. David experienced that mercy in friendships that God gives, in the kindred spirit he had with Jonathan, Saul's son. David even experienced the chastisement and the correction of God, didn't he? When Nathan the prophet said, "Thou art the man." David experienced a whole world of attributes of God, but he's put them together and he says, God is beautiful. Today, people try and it's easy for me to see the beauty of God as displayed. I see the New Testament and the shower of grace that's displayed in the Gospels and in the Epistles. But you'll see as you read listen to atheists or other people, non-believers, try to pit God's attributes against each other, like the judgment of God that's seen in the Old Testament against the love of God, maybe in the New Testament. And if you've kind of heard that, you know what I'm talking about. Matthew Henry said, the harmony, speaking of God, the harmony of all his attributes is the beauty of his nature. In other words, all the aspects of God, they're not at war against each other. They harmonize and they beautifully create that thing that David said is beautiful. David saw beauty in the Lord and desired that. The harmony of all his attributes is the beauty of his nature. It's my prayer that God would show us his beauty. He's told us that he is more beautiful, that in him are more pleasures than the world has. That's something we need to desire to see. David says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. That word inquire could be said as contemplation, meditation, pondering. And so you see this beautiful wholesomeness of this verse where David says his desires, that's like his, think of that as your soul, what your heart desires, that will I seek after, his body and his walk, and at the end, his meditations. That's like his mind. You have soul, body, and mind all out for Jesus Christ in his word. So that's some thoughts on Psalm 27, verse 4.